Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for business women who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. I had lunch recently with my college roommate. We now live about 2 hours apart, but we hadn't seen each other in several years. We stay in touch on Facebook, but families and careers have just kept our schedules busy. It was great to be together again. She's now retired, which is hard to believe, because technically she's 2 months younger than me. She had been an assistant superintendent of schools and retired after 40 years in education. She and I met in college because we were elementary ed majors. We had so much in common that we became great friends and eventually roommates. You know, there just weren't many things that she and I didn't do together during those years in college. We really grew up together, having experienced so much when we were just 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, basically. I remember when we graduated, we thought we were so mature, but that is just hilarious to think about now, how we thought then. You know, we really saw each other through so much in just 4 short years, you know, going to classes that we just loved together and skipping classes we really didn't like at times and helping each other through tests and papers and math classes that seemed to make no sense. Oh, and then there was the occasional boyfriend breakup and the occasional girlfriend dramas with girls and such. Even we talked about it. We cared for each other through colds and flu bugs. You know, you live a lot of life together when you're college roommates. We really grew up a lot in those years at college. You know, but one thing I always knew about my roommate was that she was a faithful friend. She was a Christian, godly woman. And no matter what, she had my back and I had hers. You know, we never really got mad at each other. We never fought. When we made mistakes or had harsh words on occasion, we would forgive each other quickly, extend grace to each other, and move on. You know, we each had a respect for the other, and we really didn't want to let the other one down. We really had each other's back. You know, I imagine that you probably have people in your life like that, people who have your back, who extend grace, people you don't want to disappoint. I can think of a handful of people in my life like that as well, which is good because we all need grace-filled people in our lives. Because guess what? We're not perfect people. No matter how hard we try, we're going to make mistakes at times and at times disappoint somebody. But even more than the fear of disappointing others, most of us really don't want to disappoint God. Though we each have at some point, because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as Paul wrote in Romans. But you know, God never runs out of grace when we turn to Him after we've messed up or after we've sinned. There is no limit to His forgiveness for us, because there's no limit for His love for us. He has no limit, no limit, no boundary when it comes to His love for us and His forgiveness. But you know, that very fear of disappointing God can keep non-believers, and even some believers, from fully trusting God. There are those who think that God is a judge ready to just throw the book at them. Well, you know, Jesus came, and He demonstrated God's grace and mercy, especially remember those examples of when Jesus would forgive someone's sins even before He would heal their physical need. Think of all the examples in Scripture where God, through Christ, healed physically people's needs. Yet what He did first, Christ first would forgive their sins. There's an example in the book of Mark, chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Let me share it. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that He had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and He preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to Him a paralytic, carried by 4 of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he turned to the paralytic and said, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. You know, Jesus knew what that man needed, even more than physical healing, which Jesus did give him. But even more than that, Jesus healed the man's soul. He forgave his sins. Jesus showed mercy and grace to cover what the man and what we need most and fear we may not get. He gave him grace and forgiveness. And he gave us the same thing. Grace and forgiveness for our sins, for when we mess up, when we disappoint, when we drop the ball, when we sin. We need to know that God will forgive and restore our relationship with him. And he does. That is his grace and mercy. You know, in his book, Fearless, Max Lucado says this. He says, nothing fosters courage like a clear grasp of grace, and nothing fosters fear like an ignorance of mercy. He goes on to write, may I speak candidly? If you haven't accepted God's forgiveness, you are doomed to fear. Nothing can deliver you from the gnawing realization that you have disregarded your Maker and disobeyed his instruction. No pill, no pep talk, psychiatrist, or possession can set the sinner's heart at ease. You may deaden the fear, but you can't remove it. Only God's grace can. So have you accepted the forgiveness of Christ? If not, do so. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So your prayer can be as simple as this. Dear Father, I need forgiveness. I admit that I've turned away from you. Please forgive me. I place my soul in your hands and my trust in your grace. Through Jesus I pray, amen. And having received God's forgiveness then, live forgiven. Jesus has healed your legs, so walk. When Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed. So fix your thoughts on his grace and mercy today. So thank you for listening, and I pray that you receive the message from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.